I'm John, I'm an eight.
Hey, John.
It feels good to be alive tonight. You know, and, I'm a little bit nervous. You know, I know I'm amongst friends. I recognise most of the faces here. And I know a lot of the names. I'm self-centred. You know, they might be in the centre of attention, in the spotlight. I'd rather be seen over there in the shadow somewhere. Listen to someone else here. You know, I come here most weeks. You know, and what I usually do is say hello to whoever's at the door, come down, get me tea, spot a chair, and I'll hope me on it like a HCV missile, because they're usually in short supply here. Yeah. I usually try and get a soft one, what with my head and all that. And I'll listen to whoever's sharing, and I'll think to myself, yeah, I've done that. Whoa, I'd never do that. I weren't that bad. You know, I weren't that sick. And, but I'd enjoy it for what it is. You know, it's an AME inn. And it's a place for our family recovery and a lot more besides. You know, my story is not exciting or interesting. I wasn't a big-time drug-dealing, gun-toting villain, or even a small-time one. I was just an everyday drug user, day-to-day, fix-to-fix, and I've done what I had to do to get what I needed. And at the time, I thought I was doing it out of choice. I thought I was, I didn't know what I thought, I just knew that I was a bad person, and to do the things what I'd done, you know, deep down, I knew that wasn't bad, really. And I don't know why I behaved the way I did. You know, I picked up in my early teens, and it wasn't because I had a terrible upbringing or anything like that. You know, I had a good mum and dad, very hardworking. I've got lots of brothers and sisters, you know, none of them have had any problems with addiction or anything like that. None that I know of, anyway. And, you know, I started using. And I think the best way I've heard it described is first of all, it's fun. Then it was fun with problems. And then it was problems. You know, and I don't really know where it went wrong. You know, you know, I like to think that I was wild and heavyweight and far out there and hedonistic. But really, looking back on it, I was more Cliff Richard and Keith Richards. More songs of praise and rock and roll. Yeah. And, you know, I can't really remember a lot about it, to be honest, you know. Not in the way the old timers say, if you remember the 60s, you won't know. You know, not in that sort of way. It was just repetitive, really. You know, when I did start off, I couldn't imagine where it really took me. You know, my mum used to say, oh, you're in the wrong crowd and all that, you know, stop running around with the naughty people. But I was the wrong crowd. You know, it's any crowd I'm in. You know, and I suppose, you know, where I ended up really was, you know, a detox in South London. A mental hospital, really, is the right name for it. You know, we can call it what we want, but, you know, as the people like myself who are killing themselves slowly. You know, so, I don't know if you've been to South London, but you've read about it in the news. You know, the mental hospital in South London is a lot worse, I can tell you. And, but I'm grateful for that place because, you know, it helped me, you know. It helped me put the drugs down, get them out of my system anyway. And while I was in there, a couple of people with me and they used to come in with their clean clothes and cups of tea and all that. And they'd say, you come to the meetings. And so I thought it was about, they would come in and tell me how to use drugs. And I knew all that, you know. So I just laid on my bed. And I thought, look what the world's done to me, you know. females or even themselves. And I'd hear them clapping, picking their white earrings up. I was a little bit jealous, really, a bit envious, you know. I wanted to be part of it, but, you know, I didn't go in there. So I finished my detox, and I said to myself, this time it's going to be different. It's going to be okay. And it was different this time. It was a lot worse. You know, I used to wake up every day wanting to kill myself, you know, and other people. You know, if I did kill myself, I'd take a few people out with me, you know, my noisy neighbours and people who park in my car parking space, people like that. And, you know, and, all I was doing was obsessing about drugs. And one night I'm sitting indoors and I get a phone call. And someone telling me they've got a big ear. So I'm listening to this. It sounds tempting. And then I go knock at the door at the same time. And it's someone I haven't seen for about 5 years. Something in NNA. And I thought he'd come down and use up. So I was already a go. And they tell me what their life was like today. And I didn't like it. You know, I didn't like even someone having a good time. But I was miserable. But they arranged me a coach and they named me in and arranged for someone to pick me up. And you know what? He came and picked me up. I wasn't really expecting it, you know. I didn't really want to go. And, you know, the first night I was there, I didn't really understand what they were talking about. You know, it didn't make much sense. I just remember some of the faces. And, but something might change that night. You know, I'm not sure what it was. I got a sponsor that night, and it just helped me do a few simple things, you know, what I still do today. And, you know, getting a home group and doing me praying and, you know, reading basic texts and things like that. And, you know, my life's got a lot better since then. And, you know, I did come in the best of shape. Physically, I had treatment for the hepatitis a couple of years ago, and at the moment, I've got a problem with my chest, and I'm waiting for a lung transplant. That will both lungs. You know, we don't do things by halves. And you know, being on the waiting list means that they could call me any time to say, come in, you know, we got a match for you. And what that means is there's someone, usually young and healthy, and they're on a life support machine, and they haven't got long to live. And then mum or dad, or husband or wife, has said, you know, you can use parts of a loved one to help someone else live. Not just the person who's receiving the organs, but their family and friends, loved ones and colleagues as well. And I've been there a few times, each time I've got down there. The new organs, they weren't up to being used. They were either damaged or something or other, you know. And last time I was down there, it was a beautiful sunny day. You know, I was sitting there in my gown, waiting for a decision to be made. You know, those gowns that were on with your hands first and you were tied up at the back, and, you know, and so I went over to the window. I looked down, tried stopping thinking about myself, seeing what was going on, and you know, the birds were in the trees, and lovely grass, and there was flowers there, and all that. You know, I'm no tree hugging ability, anything like that, you know, but I miss all that, you know. I miss the things that I take for granted today, and you know, it didn't happen that night, you know. I'm not quite sure if it would happen any day, you know. I do know that, you know, I'd miss this world if I was to go, you know. I'd miss listening to, you know, loud music, delicious food, looking at beautiful women, Harry Hill, you know. I'd miss all that, you know. Yeah, you know, Yeah, I miss everybody here. You know, I miss some lovely people. People who understand what I'm about, you know, and that's great. My family talked to me today. I talked to them. They never really abandoned me. You know, when I got all I could out of them, you know, whether it be a job, money, or a place to stay, you know, I abandoned them. You know, and, they told me they don't really know what goes on here. You know, they don't really have to. You know, my brother says to me, you got new swingers meetings. Meetings to the epic park team in the middle of the together. 3 years I've been looking for a meeting like that. I have a fam on the other side, anyone knows. So, unofficial in our announcement now. Maybe now and but yeah, that's what I want today. You know, I'm a man who needed drugs to get out of bed and into bed. Do something and to do nothing, and today anything's possible without using, you know. And I don't usually give advice, but if you're new here, you know, put your money on DNA 12-step program. You know, it's not a gamble or a lottery, it's a dead serve, you know. And I haven't really got much more to say, you know, but thanks for letting me share.